we've heard about gifts and the gifts that the Holy Spirit has to offer us. And the way I was thinking about new life, I was kind of nervous about it. I was like, I have no idea how I'm going to describe new life. So I have this little kind of mental image thing that might help us out a little bit. So who here doesn't like receiving gifts? Nobody? That's what I thought. So the way I see new life is when we're first baptized, we get this beautifully wrapped present. You know, the one that you walk down on Christmas morning and it just catches your eye. It's the only one you want to look at. We get one of those when we're first baptized as kids, and it just stays within us. And then we don't really, it just stays deep within us, and it does nothing until we're ready to open it. So when we're baptized in the Spirit, that's when we really begin to open it. And the present to me, well, let me explain the present a little bit better. So has anybody ever, like, gotten somebody something really small and put it in a large box and then put different little boxes going up to it? Well, that's kind of what this present is like. You open up the first layer and you find that there's just another present inside of it. And then there's another present inside of that one. And it's just infinite. You don't ever run out of presents. You can open your present every minute of every day and you'll still never run out, because this is the gift that Jesus gives to us. And it's the Holy Spirit. So when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's when we first truly begin to open up that present. And we just get to keep opening it. So I didn't really, I didn't kind of realize the magnitude of this present. And so I started working on this talk, and it just really hit me. So what I'm going to share is a little bit of, I guess, what happens when you start opening your present. So when we first open it, it's when we officially accept Jesus as the Lord of our lives, and we surrender everything to Him, and we begin to trust Him, and we break away from the person we were before, and we just start to become who Jesus wants us to be, not who society wants us to be. And as we continue to open our present, Jesus' glorious light just shines brighter and brighter in our hearts, and soon everybody else begins to see it. And we begin to see the world in a whole different perspective. We begin to see it more of like how Jesus would see it and not how everybody else is seeing it. We receive the fruits and the charisms of the Holy Spirit, as Father Fred was talking about, when we begin to open this gift. And I found that when we open it, we begin to pray more. I'll get into that in a little bit. But as we open each gift, we take another step in our journey of new life with Christ. And throughout each step, He's like holding our hand, and He's right beside us, just pouring out His love for us. And that was really powerful to me, that He's right there holding my hand all these times that I felt alone. And Jesus is just right there. You just have to be open to Jesus. That just really spoke to me. So I hope that that gives you a little bit more understanding of how to see new life. It's just, it's this gift that Jesus gives to us, and it's an opportunity to begin a new life with Him and to grow in our relationship with Him. And if you think about it as that present with all the different layers, as you unwrap it, you get more and more and more, and you grow closer and closer to Jesus. And you just keep growing. You never hit the roof. There's no limit, because you just keep going. So if you have any questions before I start talking about my experience with new life, because not only is the gift beautiful, but it's unique. I can stand here and tell you everything that I've received, and you might never get one of those things. You might get something different, because Jesus is different for all of us. So none of that makes sense, then you can ask me, and I can try to answer your questions before I keep going. I don't want to confuse anybody. So does anybody have any questions? Okay, that's good. So when I was first baptized in the Spirit, when I first began to unwrap my present, it was when I made my first tech retreat. And tech is Teens Encounter Christ. I don't know if you're familiar with what that is. So before the retreat, just to give you a kind of like before new life, after, well, pre-new life, I guess, and then once I started my journey of new life, I was just really, I just felt like nobody loved me. I was all alone, and I was just unhappy, typical kind of teenager. I would fight with my little brother, and I absolutely hated my parents. And, you know, I was hanging out with a group of friends that, looking back now, I kind of see that they were a bad influence, because well, we didn't really drink or get into drugs, but we would just do things that were, we would intentionally physically harm our bodies, and so that was just really awful. And my mom would force me to go to Mass. I don't know if any of you feel like that now. That, oh, it's get up Sunday morning, out the door, go to Mass. And I would try to get out of it, and then if I would go, I would just sit there, and I wouldn't kneel down and pray before Mass started. I wouldn't really take part. And then my lifestyle just throughout high school kept getting worse and worse. So in July of 2010, I just finished up my junior year in high school, and Johnny Quinta, one of my good family friends, asked me to go and join participate in the tech retreat. So I went, and it was a really perfect time because I was just going downhill, and I really needed to change my life. So I went to the retreat, and I didn't know anybody, and I didn't know what to expect because they kind of keep it a big secret. And so I stayed pretty quiet. I was kind of uncomfortable, and I listened to what everybody was saying, and I wanted those things, but I just couldn't get myself to the place where I would be open to it. So I remember thinking everyone was like super crazy. They were like, oh my gosh, Jesus. And they were just so happy. And I was like, what is this? And now looking back, I realized that they were just filled with joy and they're showing Jesus' love because he was just pouring, they were opening themselves. And so he was pouring them out of it. And I found that the more you open yourself, the more you receive. And I mean, it kind of sounds weird, but you just have to be open and you will be able to see all that you're receiving. So at the end of the retreat, it's typical to have Mass at the very end. And Father Beckett was there, and it was a charismatic Mass that went for a really long time. And at the very end, he called us up for personal prayer, and he had a prayer team there, and I didn't know it at the time, but he was going to be baptizing us in the Spirit. I had no idea what was going on. So I just went up there with everybody else because that's what everybody was doing. And so everybody's like singing and the guitarists are just, they just keep playing the same song over and over again. And I'm in line and I'm thinking, okay, what's going to happen? And I get up there. And Father Beckett places his hands on me and anoints me with oil. I'm pretty sure he had oil, if I'm remembering right. And I just instantly, I felt at peace, and I had no idea that it would be like that. So I just felt at peace, and I felt more love than I ever had in my whole life. And so after that, I, of course, had to get out of the way because somebody else was next after the prayer was over. And I was standing there, and we were all just standing there and looking on, and people were, like, on the floor and crying, and I was like, what is going on? Because I had gotten out of my little peaceful mode. I was like, oh no, there's somebody lying here on the floor. And they're just resting in the Spirit. And that's when they just, the way I've come to understand it is they surrender everything to the Holy Spirit and they're just at a complete and total peace. And I think that is the great thing, the greatest thing ever. So I figured that they were, now looking back on it, they were opening their presents too, and that's what I had done. I started to unwrap my present, and since tech, of course, everybody has their ups and downs. Sometimes you don't open your present because it's completely your choice. You can get up in the morning and say, oh, I don't want to open my present today. I hope that doesn't really happen to anybody because it's not that great, but so I started praying more, and I really kind of established a relationship with Jesus, which I think prayer is one of the greatest gifts. And prayer can either be done like, prayer is a conversation, so we're talking, but then we also have to sit and listen. And I find that the silence is just so perfect, because it helps you out a lot. It really, God really speaks to you in the silence. I stopped hanging out with my friends, and I didn't have a desire to fight with my family and do anything like that. And I just really felt like I was becoming more like Jesus, or like more like a Christ figure. And Jesus was really transforming me. And that's what happens as you unwrap this present. You take layers and layers off, and Jesus just keeps transforming you into who he wants to be, who he wants you to be. And so that's my story of new life. That's how I came to find new life. And I just really like to picture it as that present, because we all know what presents are like. We get them and we're just so excited. And this is one of those presents that you open it and you just keep opening it. You don't ever like just sit there and play with it and then 2 weeks later, let's just dump it in the toy chest and get something else. You get more and more and more, and you grow closer with Jesus. There's another way that the Holy Spirit works. Going into college, it's a big time of change, and I tried out for the drumline, and I went to a party, and I'll admit to you, I was drinking underage. I'm not gonna lie. And the next day, or the next few days, when I went home, I told my parents, I was like, college kids are gonna drink, it's inevitable, whatever. My mom didn't believe me. She believed that I was saying that, and she knew it was true, but she trusted me not to do that. And my dad did not. And so he was, concerned. 3 days later, he called my mom. He was bothered by what I had said, and he asked her. She said, no, I trust her. And my mom had relayed this conversation to me, and I instantly just felt all of this guilt. So I decided that I wasn't going to drink anymore and do things like that. Well, then, on one of the bus trips, there's this thing, it's called freshman initiation or rookie initiation, and they make you say this really vulgar cheer, and you have to tell your first time story, and then you have to perform a talent that does something for them. And the way they set it up is they put you on you're on a charter bus, and you're traveling, 70 miles down the interstate, and they're like, oh, we're going to put this curtain up now. They take your cell phones away. Well, I was really nervous about it, and so I kind of prayed about it, and the Lord really helped me, because he told me to just tell about my first time experiencing him instead of my first time what they wanted me to talk about. And so I had that underway, and I knew what I was going to do for that, and I wrote up a piece of paper and everything that had what I was going to say on it. And then for the talent, I was thinking, oh, maybe I can just pick a Bible verse and read it to them. Maybe that'll inspire them and help them to not act in the ways that they do. So I had that too. Well, I had no idea that I was going to have to say this cheer, and it's just composed of all these vulgar words, and they want you to say it as fast as you can, and they time you. It's really just neat how they do these things. So it was my turn. I think I was second or third or whatever. I was really nervous. I went behind the curtain. You had to run as fast as you could, and you had to stop at this line. It was really nerve-wracking. And they said, okay, we want you to say the cheer. And I said, no. And they were just like, oh, do you want to think about that? And I said, no, because Jesus lives in me, and I don't want to do anything that makes him feel uncomfortable. And right then, I just knew. I was just like, wow, I don't know where those words came from. Where did I get this courage? And it's the Holy Spirit. It's unwrapping another layer of that gift without even knowing it. And so I did my story and my talent, and I actually got positive feedback. One of the people were just rolling their eyes and whatever, but then other people were like, wow, I don't know how you had the courage to do that. And I personally did not have the courage. It was the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit works through all of us, and that's why we have that present, so that we can just open it, and we know when we're going to need it. And really, we need it all the time, because we're just human. We don't have any power at all. So as we open that, we just get filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's how I think of new life, is opening that present and just growing closer and closer with Jesus, leaving everything that you had before behind and just really surrendering yourself to Jesus. That's it.